Welcome to this encore presentation of Catholic Answers Live. We appreciate you listening today and apologize that we're not here to take your live calls. However, we invite you to stay with us and enjoy the broadcast.
Hour number two of our Wednesday broadcast right before Christmas. Hope that your final days of Advent are going well and you're not being too bombarded with the things of the world, the preparations for the Christmas celebration with family and friends, to not be spending a little bit of quiet time with the Lord. I'm sure that you are doing that, and we're going to be helping you prepare, God willing, a little bit for that here in hour number two with Steve Ray. We are going to talk about the birth of Jesus. And so basically, what you can call and ask about, perhaps you have acquaintances, family members, friends who sort of dispute the historical facts that we celebrate at Christmas time. We all know a lot of people who want to celebrate the quote season, but not really recognizing what the season is about. That the second person of the Trinity actually became man, took on our human nature, our flesh, was born in a manger in Bethlehem. And so we can talk about the kind of the historical setting, the just any kind of questions you might have about the historicity of it, the incarnation, biblical accounts of this, how to explain it in a beautiful way to your kids. Steve Ray has been to the Holy Land well over 100, maybe 150 times with his wife Janet. So he really has his finger on the pulse of what this is all about, the incarnation narrative. So Steve Ray is a convert, by the way, to the Catholic Church and the author of several best-selling Ignatius Press books. And like I say, he leads pilgrimages to not only the Holy Land, but pilgrimages and cruises to holy sites around the world. And you'll find him at CatholicConvert.com, but you'll find him right now at 888-318-7884. Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Good evening, Jerry. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, likewise, and I'm looking forward to Debbie Giorgiani, my co-host for our show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, that airs on many of these stations, noon Eastern, weekdays, Monday through Friday, and again at midnight Eastern. We are going to have you on a pre-recorded Christmas show about Mary on Friday, so I'm really looking forward to that. But today we focus on Jesus and just the beautiful Christmas story. So again, folks, if you have questions about this, 888-318-7884 is the number to get us started here. And Steve, let's start with the Bible, because you know, that's where I think we have common ground, even with our non-Catholic brothers and sisters in the faith. How do the four Gospels give us the facts, the account of Jesus' origins in both fascinating and different ways?
Well, I'd like to look at it as four witnesses, and they're different. They each tell a different story, though they're not contradictory. Say you're on a street intersection and there's a major car accident, and you get four eyewitnesses that show up in court to tell what they saw. One person was in the car, so they're going to tell you what they saw from in the car. Another person from the sidewalk over here, another person from the 17th story of the Hilton, and another person from the third story over on the other side of the street. And when you get those four together, they're going to tell you their side of the story, what they saw about that accident from different perspectives. And they're going to be truthful, hopefully, and not contradictory, even though they're going to be telling in a different way. And that's very much the way the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are. And two of them tell about the birth of Christ, and two of them do not. And there's a reason why, I think, because each one of them has their own audience that they're intending to write to, and each one has their way of doing it. So let's just do it this way. Matthew is known to have been written by Matthew to the Jews. He was trying to convince the Jews that Jesus was their Messiah. And so he takes you in his story of Jesus. He has the life of Jesus and his lineage, his genealogy, all the way back through King David, all the way back to Abraham. Why is that important? Because he's establishing the kingly lineage of Jesus. It starts with Abraham, the father of the faith. It goes through King David, the tribe of Judah, and it ends up with Jesus. So Matthew is presenting the gospel to the Jews to prove that he's the king. Now, Luke is quite the different. He's not writing to the Jews. He's writing mainly to Greeks. He's writing to the Greek people, and he's presenting Jesus as the ideal man. So Matthew is the king, and Luke is the man. And so how does he present it? He goes back all the way to Adam and Eve. He is lineage, his genealogy goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, then through Abraham, then through David, because he's writing to show he's the ideal man, that he goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Now, Mark, he has a different genealogy. It just says Jesus started doing things. He started doing miracles. Why? Because that is written by Mark in Rome, and he's writing to the Romans who don't care. He's presenting Jesus as the servant, powerful, fast, does things, gets things done all the way through it, miracles and power, and straight away Jesus did this and straight away did that, and I came not to be served but to serve. So he doesn't have a genealogy because you don't care about a servant. Who cares about the slave's genealogy? The servant doesn't have a genealogy. Who cares? Now, John, he has a different one. His genealogy is very unique because he's presenting Jesus not as a man necessarily, but as God. And he's presenting him that way, as God. And so how does that genealogy begin? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the genealogy of Jesus. He came from heaven. So you have Matthew presenting him as king. And you have Mark presenting him as servant, two opposites. You have Luke presenting him as a man, and John presenting him as God, two opposites. So, but they're different stories, they have different beginnings, and they're all very interesting. Now, one more thing, Jerry, I'll just say. If you want to read these two stories of the birth, you have two different perspectives. If you want to read Joseph's perspective on the story, read the Gospel of Matthew. If you want to read Mary's perspective on the story, read the Gospel of Luke.
Very good. Off to a great start here, and we have phone lines that are open as we visit with Steve Ray. We are talking about the birth of Jesus on Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884. Maybe for you, as you're listening right now, you're going, well, of course it happened, and I believe it, and it's easy to believe, and everybody should believe it. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people in the world who don't quite understand the great gift that God has given to the world. So if you have questions about the biblical accounts, as Steve has just been talking about those of Jesus' incarnation and birth, love to have you ask Steve, and we'll get into this if you don't ask him, about just the cultural and the social milieu into which Jesus was born, what life was like at that time. It was a hard life, and so we know that Joseph and Mary had to find a place to deliver Jesus, the baby Jesus. Why didn't he come in glory and majesty? Maybe you're wondering about that, or you might even be thinking theologically, kind of at a higher level, how is it that God could even become man? 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. Steve and I are going to cover some other ground here. Let's see, Steve, you've got so many notes here. You mentioned the genealogy of Jesus. What about the biblical levels of history in Bethlehem? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Bethlehem is very interesting because it does have multiple levels, and usually when we're driving from Jerusalem to Bethlehem on our Bethlehem Day, I like to tell people on the bus the different levels that they're going to see in Bethlehem, because you just walk in and it's kind of a modern city. It's a little sad there because it's behind a big wall now, and the Christians are in a big minority and a huge unemployment in Bethlehem, but when you go in, you don't see the levels of history, but it just really quickly, it starts 4,000 years ago, not exactly, but, you know, about 4,000, because Abraham comes into the promised land from Ur of the Chaldees, which is Iraq, and when he comes in, he has Isaac, and then Isaac has Jacob. And Jacob is on his way from the north down to Hebron, and he passes through Bethlehem. This is really the first time we hear about Bethlehem. It's called Bethlehem Ephrathah. And he's got a wife who's very pregnant. His name is Rachel, and she... And the way there, they stop on the entrance to Bethlehem. She gets off her camel, and she gives birth to Benjamin, and she dies. She dies in childbirth. Now, just think of that for a moment, because Joseph and Mary are coming down that same path, that same road. It's called the Hebron Road today. That's the name of it today. And they would have been coming down that same road. And when they crossed through the gates into Bethlehem, they would have looked to their right, and there was the tomb of Rachel from 2,000 years before their time. And think about what Joseph must have thought in his mind. If he's anything like me in my thoughts and mind, I'm bringing my wife who's 9 months pregnant, and I'm coming into Bethlehem. I look over and see the tomb of my great-great-grandfather who had his wife 9 months pregnant, and she died in childbirth right at this spot. And here I'm coming down the same road with a 9-month. I would say, Lord, please take care of me. Please take care of my wife. And then he can't even find a place to to have the baby. Well, anyway, so there's Jacob and Rachel dies giving childbirth. And then the next level we have is we hear the story of Ruth and Boaz. Ruth was a Moabitess. She's from the other side of the Jordan Valley up in the pagan country of Moab. And Naomi goes there with her family. Long story short, Naomi has Ruth as her daughter-in-law. She comes back to Bethlehem. And Ruth is from Bethlehem, and she marries Boaz, and she becomes the great-grandmother of David. And then David is living in Bethlehem. That's where Samuel came to anoint him as king when he was just a little boy. That's where David went out from Bethlehem to kill Goliath with the 5 smooth stones and came back. And this is David. And this is the place where David, I think, wrote some of his psalms when he's out with the shepherds, out with the sheep out in the fields called Shepherd's Field. It's also called Ruth's Field. And that's where we have Mass out there, too, where they kept the sheep in caves out in that distance, maybe a mile, 2 miles away from the birthplace of Christ. And so David, I think that's where he was taking care of his sheep, and he probably wrote the 23rd Psalm out there while he's in Bethlehem. One night he's laying there looking up at the stars thinking about his sheep, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He does for me what I do for my sheep." And that, you know, the shepherds were out in the fields on the first Christmas Eve too, probably right at the same place where David was. And then after David, we have Micah's prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and it says, "O Bethlehem Ephratah, too small to be among the clans of the nations, and yet from you will come the great king." So that song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," that comes right out of Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "O Little Town of Bethlehem, so small, but from you will come the king." 400 years before the birth of Christ, it was prophesied that Bethlehem would be the city that Jesus was born at. And then, of course, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born there. See, the levels were going up here, and Jesus was born there in Bethlehem, and people remembered that he was born there. And that cave right there, that's where he was born, right on that cave where they used to keep the sheep. And so when people started coming, they would want to see, where was it that Jesus was born? And even Justin Martyr and Origen and John Chrysostom in the early years said people, even at this late date, John Chrysostom wrote this in 359 about, he said, even at this late date, people still come to see the place where the Savior was born. They remembered that. But then in 135, Emperor Hadrian in Rome tried to obliterate Christianity, so he built a temple to Adonis, to the pagan god Adonis, right over the place where Jesus was born, to try and destroy Christianity, to obliterate the holy sites. But then in 313, Queen Helen came along, and her son Constantine legalized Christianity, and as soon as he did, she went out looking for these places, and they said, she said to the people, locals, "Where did Jesus, was he born?" And they said, "Right under that temple of Adonis. King Emperor Hadrian built it there to hide it." So she knocked it down, and guess what she found? The cave where Jesus was born. And now millions and millions and millions of us have been going there through the centuries to go there and venerate that place. We know right where he is born, it's still right there. You can still touch it, you can kiss it, you can cry at it, and we still know and go there to praise God that that's the place where he was born. So there's a little bit of a kind of a history, the levels all the way from Genesis until today.
I love it. I love it. There is so much more, Steve, you and I could talk about, but our listeners want to also ask you their questions, so we will get to those right after this short break on Catholic Answers Live. I'm Jerry Usher, filling in as host today, talking about the birth of Jesus. Today in the gospel reading and Mass was about the visitation. Maybe you have questions about Mary's journey to see her relative Elizabeth and the meeting of those two women and the baby boys in their wombs, or if you want to ask about Joseph's role as head of the Holy Family. We know from Scripture that he was called upon by God to really take the lead in protecting and safeguarding the Messiah that was in his bride Mary's womb. So any and all of these questions about the birth of Jesus, the history of it, the times in which this all happened, 888-318-7884. We'll be right back to take your questions.
Catholic Answers Live.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the Saints Who Reformed the Church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
At Christmas, who does not want to be the one who gives not just a gift that keeps on giving, but a gift also of lasting meaning? If you want to bring someone into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ in a steady and nearly effortless way, get him or her a subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine. Until the end of the year, Catholic Answers Magazine is available for $10 off, and when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition for free. That's right, $10 off a one-year subscription and 20 off two-year subscriptions, plus a free subscription to the digital edition. With a deal like this, Catholic Answers Magazine is the perfect gift for anyone who wants to learn more about the Catholic faith. Friends, family, high school and college students, seminarians, even your pastor. Catholic Answers Magazine will change the hearts of those who read it, and it will help them bring the gospel to others. Visit CatholicAnswersMagazine.com to sign friends and family up today. That's CatholicAnswersMagazine.com.
We're rapidly coming to the end of the year. Soon, 2017 will be behind us, and 2018 will begin. At Catholic Answers, we need to prepare for that now. You see, the end of the year is a very important time for us. Like most nonprofits, Catholic Answers depends heavily on the generosity of its donors at the end of the year, just before and after Christmas. That's right, Christmas. That's what we Catholics celebrate, not nebulous, religiously neutral holidays or a non-specific season. Catholic Answers is all about promoting Christ and the Catholic faith. It's what we do day in and day out. This time of year is no exception. In fact, the end of the year is when we have our largest fundraising campaign, which provides the foundation for the work we will do in 2018. Also, the tax year ends just after Christmas, and that gives people an extra reason to be generous at this time. Making a donation now will help Catholic Answers do more good, it will help reduce your tax burden, and it will help keep more money out of the government's wasteful hands. Between Christmas generosity and the end of the tax year, Catholic Answers is really counting on your help right now. To learn how you can help and how you can get your free copy of Trent Horn's new DVD, The Protestant Revolution, just go to Catholic.com and click the end of year banner or call us toll free at 888-291-8000. That's the end of year banner at Catholic.com or call toll free 888-291-8000. Thank you and Merry Christmas.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of Catholic Answers Live. We're not taking live calls today, but we're glad you tuned in.
Good to have you here. And again, a reminder about the free, absolutely free gift from Catholic Answers to you. If you text CA Live, the letters CA Live, it's of course short for Catholic Answers Live, CA Live to the number 44222 on your phone, you will get some very simple instructions for how to download a talk by Tim Staples. It's on evangelization, and it's a relatively new talk. In fact, it's very new. There was a conference that Catholic Answers had in conjunction with Spirit Catholic Radio in Omaha recently, and this is the talk that Tim gave at that conference. So it is not, as far as I know, it's not been made available anywhere else yet, except to you right now. So love to have thousands of you just to grab your cell phones, unless you're driving, of course, be safe, be careful. But to any time that you can do that today, I'm not sure how long this is available, but text CA Live to 44222, and you will get that wonderful talk by Tim Staples on evangelization. He not only tells you what it is, why it's important, but he also offers some some challenges to you to go out and to evangelize. I think you'll be inspired by this. So take advantage of that. And the store-wide sale continues through the end of the year. You're going to save up to 50% on virtually every resource available in the shop at Catholic.com. It starts at 10% off and goes as high as half off in some cases. So take advantage of that too. All right, Steve Ray is here to answer your questions on the birth of Jesus. We'll start with Raphael in Sacramento. Hello, Raphael. Welcome to the program.
Hello, gentlemen. Nice to hear you and talk to you. I called yesterday to speak to Mr. Staples, but I was cut off right at the end of the hour. So.
Oh, well, I'm glad you got through today.
I'm here today. My question for Steve is the following. I have a friend that argues that Mary experienced birth pain when she gave birth to Jesus. And I argue that she did not, since the pain is a consequence of sin, and since she was sinless, she could not feel pain. And she says, well, that's what Revelation 12 says, that she was in pain giving birth to this, you know the passage.
Yep.
So
yep.
My question to Steve is, did she experience pain? I take it. It's my understanding that the pain that is referring to in chapter 12 in Revelation is in regards to the church and not to Mary. Am I correct or am I?
Oh, boy, you've asked a big question. First of all, that passage in Revelation is primarily and literally Mary, but she is also being used as a symbol of the church or of Israel through whom the Messiah came. But primarily that is Mary. And that is, she is the Queen of Heaven, and she's being revealed there as the Queen of Heaven. And it does say there that she had pain in childbirth. And those who would want to have her be just a symbol there, like many people, they don't want us. They argue against the Catholic position that she's in heaven, body and soul, and the Queen of Heaven. And they would say that she is only representing the church, and therefore the pain would be some of the tribulation that the church is going to go through during the Christian period and era. In the passage in Genesis, if you read back there carefully, it says that your pain will be greatly increased in childbearing. There's the implication that there may have been pain in childbirth, that it is a big traumatic thing that happens to a woman's body when she gives birth to a baby, and it says that your pain will be, because of the fall, your pain will be greatly increased, which could imply that it wasn't exactly painless in the beginning. Just like the punishment that comes to Adam is that he is some people say, well, he has to work. Is the punishment to Adam that he has to work? No. Working was something that happened before the fall. He was to tend the garden and to fix it and to take care of the trees and the animals and name them. But after the fall, the work that he had was now going to be fraught with thorns and thistles, and it was going to be drudgery, and he's going to be sweating while he does it. So that's one thought. Another thought is, when my wife gave birth to our first baby, she didn't have any pain. It was a very pleasurable experience for her. And so the question is there always pain in childbirth? No, not necessarily, because I remember my wife saying, that was wonderful. And she didn't feel any pain. So whether Mary felt pain or not, I don't know. I don't think that you can simply say because pain came through the fall that Mary didn't experience pain, or that there was no labor involved, there was no giving birth. Now, I know there's another whole school of thought that says that the baby didn't even come out the birth canal, that there was no physical birth like a normal baby, but just somehow the baby came out through the stomach walls and just appeared on Mary's stomach. And, you know, I don't buy that one. I'm sorry. I know that the people get angry about me because I mentioned it once before. I know a lot of good priests and people that agree with me on that. It is not a dogma of the church that is de fide dogma that you have to believe, but it's a very pious opinion that's been held by many, and that Jesus didn't even come out through the birth canal. That he was just appeared on her stomach somehow. So the question of whether, I don't think that Mary had a lot of pain or whatever in childbirth, but I don't think that we can say that just from the standpoint that because she didn't sin that there was no labor, that there was no sensation of giving birth to a baby. I hope that helps. I know it's not very clear, and it has. There's a lot of ink been spilled over this, let me say that, and not everyone's going to agree with what I said. I'm trying to present both sides so that you can view both sides and understand how maybe different people look at it.
Does that help, Raphael?
Great. Yeah, we're both Catholic, and you know, we're both in agreement of everything you said. It was that little thing, you know, that little thing about the pain, you know, while giving birth, that we had a little dispute about. But we were both Catholic, and we agree with, you know, her being in heaven and all of that other.
Yep. Good.
You know, doctrine.
It's nice to have good friends that you can discuss and disagree with things and still be friends. And the more you discuss them, the more you learn, don't you? That's how we learn sometimes, by discussing and arguing and thinking about things together.
Yeah, the church has had a few instances of that, has she not, Steve?
Yes. Very much.
All right, Raphael, thank you. And our hard break is here in about 40 seconds. So, Nicole, we will go to you right after the break. Look at that. There's the music on cue. Brian, you'll be after Nicole, and Richard in North Carolina, too. We're talking about the birth of Jesus from the spiritual angle, historical, what it all means, how to explain it to maybe your acquaintances who, you know, they want to celebrate Christmas, but without Jesus. And this might be helpful for you. 888-318-7884. You will get on the program with Steve Ray.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Did the Catholic Church add books to the Bible? Or did Protestants remove 7 books from the Old Testament? Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger takes you on a fact-filled tour through the history of the Bible, revealing the whole story behind the lost books of the Protestant Old Testament. With the latest information and discourse on crucial issues, Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger is a book that belongs in the library of every serious student of Scripture. And as a special bonus, if you order online, we'll add an e-book copy of 15 Myths, Mistakes, and Misrepresentations About the Deuterocanon to your order absolutely free. Get your free e-book today. Order your copy of Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger by logging on to our online shop at shop.catholic.com.
At Christmas time, we all want to be the one to give that special gift that keeps on giving. That's why we've made subscriptions to Catholic Answers magazine available at a very special price through the end of the year. And now, when you purchase a subscription, you get a subscription to the digital edition added to your order for free. That's right, $10 off 1-year subscriptions and $20 off 2-year subscriptions, plus a free digital subscription. With a deal like that, it's the perfect gift for friends, family members, seminarians, your priest, or anyone on your list. When you get right down to it, what other gift has the potential to touch hearts and reap eternal rewards? Log on today to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com and sign up friends and family alike for a gift that is bound to make a difference in their lives and the lives of those they meet. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Hi, this is Father Mitch Pacwa. We reflect on John the Baptist throughout Advent. He is the one who shows us that Jesus, the Lamb of God, is also the friend of the bridegroom, but Jesus is the bridegroom. And he reminds us that, like John, we want Jesus to increase and ourselves to decrease throughout the season of Advent and through our whole lives.
Great to have you with us on Catholic Answers Live. Jerry Usher filling in. Steve Ray answering your questions about the birth of Jesus. And right before we go back to the calls, I'm just going to take this opportunity again. I mentioned this last hour, Steve. I don't know if you were listening or not, but my sister Mary, beautiful name, she is named after the Blessed Mother, is going through a health issue right now. She has had a cancer diagnosis, and in order for them to begin treatment, they have to get a couple of other issues or obstacles out of the way, and her body is being a little stubborn on that right now, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but they just simply have limited treatment options right now because of some issues, some complications. So I would ask all of our listeners to pray for my sister Mary, and I know she will pray for you in return. And I have actually set up an email account that I unless she's listening right now, she won't know about it until Christmas. I'm going to surprise her with the email address and the login information. It's prayingformary@gmail.com. And already we're up to 64 people who have sent her their heartfelt prayers. And I thank every one of you. I can't promise that Mary will be able to reply to all of those, but she is going to be very, very moved by your compassion. So I would really just invite anybody else who feels so moved by the Lord to offer her a word of encouragement. It's praying for, and for is spelled out, F-O-R, praying for Mary at gmail.com. I know she will be very, very grateful for your prayers and concern. Okay, so as promised, Nicole is in La Porte, Indiana, listening on Redeemer Radio. Nicole, you're next with Steve Ray. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. And we will be praying for Mary.
Thank you, Nicole.
My question is, my kids and I were wondering this, because I have seven kids and been through giving birth seven times. Do you think Mary was alone? Do you think St. Joseph was there? Is that even important? But we think about that sometimes. We just wonder if St. Joseph was there or not.
That's the best thing you can do. That's called meditating on the Scripture. That's called the Lectio Divina, where you take a passage of Scripture and you think about it, and you put yourself in their shoes, and you try to figure out how did they handle the situation. That's excellent. You're teaching your kids well. Keep that up. That's beautiful. And I'll tell you, having had seven children, you know, when my wife... And this is right on topic. When we were first married, I thought I was the tough one in the family. I'm the tough, rough guy, you know, and she's my gentle, fragile wife. When she gave birth to our first baby, I said, I know who's the tough one in this family now. After watching her go through that pregnancy and give birth to that baby, I said, man, I could not do that. You are far tougher than I am. So kudos to you for seven kids. My son has seven kids, too. God bless you for that. It doesn't tell us in the Bible, but let me ask you this question. Where is Mary right now? People don't think about that. Where is she right now? She is somewhere en route to Bethlehem. They left Nazareth probably several days ago, and they're walking now, because that's 100 miles. She's 9 months pregnant, and she has to travel 100 miles, and there's no trains or cars. She's either walking or riding a stupid bony-backed donkey that's almost worse than walking, and she's en route right now. And there's a story written. It's called the Proto-Evangelium of James. That just means the first good news of James. It was written in the first half of the second century, meaning very, very close to the time of the apostles. And in that document, it not only tells about the birth of Mary, how her birth came about, but it also tells about how Joseph was chosen as her husband, to be her husband, and it tells about their journey to Bethlehem. And it says that when they got close to Bethlehem, Joseph saw that she was getting ready to have a baby. They found this cave for her to stay at, where this is where the animals were, to get in the shelter, to get in that cave. And he went to look for a midwife. And he went into the city, because he's a little bit out of the city at the point, and found this cave where she could rest while he goes to look for a midwife and a place to stay. And he comes back with a midwife. And I think if I remember right, the story talks about two midwives. One was there, and another one was on the way Joseph had brought. And so that back in those days, we know even from the story of Moses and the story of Exodus, that they had midwives. Those were the women that were expert at bringing a baby into the world, because they didn't have doctors and hospitals and sterile environments and things like we do now. Women took care of their women, and they knew how to do this, and they were trained at it, and they were experienced at giving birth. So Joseph, this story said Joseph went into the village of Nazareth, Bethlehem, and looked for midwives and brought them out to help Mary have the baby. So that's a very charming story. So Joseph did help, but I think he helped by going to find somebody who knew more about it than he did.
How's that, Nicole?
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. I can't wait to
and
tell
if you
my
get,
14-year-old daughter.
I would encourage you to read that. Go on the Internet. If you go on my website, catholicconvert.com, and do a search for James or Proto-Evangelium,
that's a long name, but it's just Proto-Evangelium of James. And read that document. You can read it in an hour out loud to the kids, but it's a fascinating story of how Mary, the birth of Mary and her choosing, Joseph being chosen, how the baby was born. It's really fascinating. And it's that document, by the way, where we get the name of Mary's parents, Joachim and Anna, because those names are not in the Bible. They come from the Proto-Evangelium of James. So it was a very important document in the early church.
Thanks, Nicole. Have a blessed Christmas coming up there in Indiana, and keep listening and call Catholic Answers Live anytime. We have an open phone line here. We're talking about the birth of Jesus today. And again, it may be sort of one of those no-brainers for you, like you've never had any difficulties believing it or what have you. A lot of family members, friends, you're going to have gatherings at Christmas, and there may be some questions come up about, well, what's this really all about? And people may challenge your belief on that, or maybe you just want better ways to explain the historical facts surrounding Jesus' incarnation and his birth. I know a lot of people wonder, well, why didn't it happen differently? Why did Jesus come as a lowly infant in a cave, in a manger, which really means like a feeding trough for animals? If you have questions about that, we can talk more about Joseph's role. We can get more into the Bible accounts of the incarnation and birth. All you have to do is call 888-318-7884. Okay, Brian, thanks for waiting in Dixon, California. You're up next with Steve Ray. Hi, Brian.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you, guys.
Hello, Brian.
Sure.
Just a quick note to you, Jerry. I will keep your sister Mary in our prayers out here in Dixon, so I hope all
Thank
turns
you.
Out well for her.
Yeah, thanks, Brian.
Quick question. As we near the end of Advent and we come into the Christmas season, there's always some speculation on the date of the birth and how it was chosen, being the 25th of December. I've been trying to read up on any of the historical evidence that supports that. I'm finding that it was a common belief among some of the church fathers, but I'm slim on specifics. Trying to find the historical record of the census that was taking place around that time. Was just curious if, Steve, if you could shed some light on that. I was trying to work backwards from the Annunciation, which I think in the Gospel of Luke was supposed to be in the sixth month, but I'm not clear on my Jewish calendar and how that would all factor in, if it would at all.
Okay, good question. I hope I can do a little bit justice to it. Let me say, a lot of times the argument against December 25th is that it's winter and people would not take their sheep out in the wintertime because it's too cold, and therefore it couldn't have been winter because it says that the shepherds are out tending their sheep in the fields at night. So first of all, let me dispel that. I've been to Bethlehem over 100 times, and I'll tell you, you take your sheep out all the time and eat, because it's not, the Bethlehem is not cold and wintry like where I am right now in Michigan. And Jerry, I know you're probably down in California somewhere. It's nice and warm, but
right.
You know, I'm up here in Michigan and we're suffering, so you should have some sympathy on us. But it's not like that in Bethlehem. I have been there in December when it snowed, but the snow melts right away. It's not that cold. And I've seen sheep out in the fields in the wintertime because, you know, if you don't take them out, and you've got to feed them, and it's a lot cheaper to take them out to eat than to pay for hay and grain and all of that and keep them in and feed them. So that argument, I think, is just a silly argument that it has nothing to do with sheep going out, because they do go out in the winter. Now, you're right, the fathers of the church did have a lot to say about it, and many of them held to this date. They believed this date. Another reason that I think early on is because Zechariah was, some people believe that he was in the temple on Yom Kippur, which is in the springtime. He gets the message that he's going to have a son, and by the time that son is born, it would be around September, and then Jesus would come 3 months later, and that would be around December. So basing it on the Jewish calendar and on the time of the Annunciation, both to Zechariah and Elizabeth and to Mary, people have looked at the Jewish calendar and said, because of those dates and so on, that it would bring it down to about this time. Now, I don't have any strong emotional attachment to December 25th. That's the date that the church has chosen to do it, but it sure fits into the year, to the Jewish year and to the Christian year. And I would say one other thing.
is that you could go on Jimmy Akin's website. He has done a lot of work on the date of Christmas, and I think you'd find it very instructive, and I have found it instructive myself. And Jimmy Akin, I call him the godfather of apologetics. And it's Jimmy, just go Jimmy Akin blog, go do a Google search, and it'll take you right to it. And do a search on his blog about the date of Christmas, because I even have them. I've copied them into my Verbum Bible software program because I found them so helpful. But I think it's a good date. I think it works with a Jewish calendar. St. Augustine and John Chrysostom, they all favored the 25th of December. These are great, great doctors of the church. And I think it's probably a good one, and there's no argument about sheep that does away with it. There was one other point that you were asking, and I don't remember if I got it or not, or did I help out a little?
I think you did. I think I was trying to work backward from the census that Joseph was going back
for. Oh, yes, yes. That's it. Now, there are some that deny that there was a census, and they say that Luke is incorrect or he was just twisting the facts a little bit to make it work. But there's a new book out that is written. Hesseman, is it, Jerry?
Yeah, Hesseman, Michael Hesseman. Yeah, we just did an interview with him.
It's an Ignatius Press book. And it's called Mary, I have it right here, it's called Mary of Nazareth. It's History, Archaeology, and Legends. And I have my endorsement on the back of it, by the way, because I thought it was a great book, and I'm reading through it again right now during Christmas. But it's a great book, and he goes through five or six pages about that census that is mentioned in Luke's gospel and just shows that there was a census, that it was correct, that Luke is not twisting the facts a little, you know, like a rubber nose a little bit to fit his purposes, but that there really was censuses and taxes and things that Joseph had to go pay. So get a copy of that book, Mary of Nazareth by Hesseman, and I think you'll enjoy that very well. And he also goes in a lot of detail about the three wise men and when they came and all the documentation for that as well. It's a fascinating read.
Great. All right. Thank you so much.
You bet, Brian. Yeah, for anybody else, that book, as Steve said, it's Mary of Nazareth, which actually is the same name as, Steve, one of your videos, if I'm not mistaken, one of the Footprints of God videos.
Yeah, that one's called Mary, Mother of God, and if I could throw a plug in for that, it's great for kids. It's a family thing. Get popcorn and watch it together. It's called Mary, Mother of God. It's on my website, CatholicConvert.com. It's also sold at the Catholic Answers store. You can get it either place. Go to the Catholic Answer stores for tonight and support them. But it's Mary, Mother of God. It has a very complete study guide about the life of Mary and all the Marian dogmas, and it's all fun. I fall in the mud. I climb trees. I wrestle snakes. It's great. Kids love it, too.
That's way too much fun, Steve.
I know it is. I'm reliving my childhood.
Well, and by the way, I'll just add to what you said about Michael Hesseman's book. He actually is an archaeologist and a historian, and he has spent years and years, I guess you could say, playing in the dirt in the Holy Land, you know.
He's a journalist, too. I mean, he's quite an amazing guy.
Yeah, and that's published by Ignatius Press, so it's called Mary of Nazareth, and I definitely recommend that book. In fact, he will be the guest. I mentioned that, Steve, you will be the guest of me and Debbie Giorgiani on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on many of these stations Friday. We have a pre-recorded show, and we've also pre-recorded a show with Michael Hesseman to air on Monday when we have the day off on the 26th, so a little plug for our show there. Okay, we're going to come back right after this final break in Catholic Answers Live. Do not forget Tim Staples, MP3, the audio download of his talk, Evangelization, What It Is and Why We Need It. All you have to do to get a copy of that absolutely free is text CA Live to the number 44222. Very easy, very simple. The instructions are quite easy to follow. Text CA Live to 44222, and you can get that free download instructions. And also, the Catholic Answer store-wide sale. If you're looking for, well, you won't get them in time for Christmas gifts at this point, I wouldn't imagine, unless you wanted some overnight shipping. But hey, treat yourself to something after Christmas. Be nice to yourself. Buy a book or a DVD set or some audio resources or Catholic Answers tracks, because the store-wide sale goes through the end of the year. And we've been promoting this for a while, and I used to think, Well, gosh, people have a lot of time, but let me just alert you to the fact that the calendar shows it's December 21st, so be sure you take advantage of the deep savings, sometimes in some cases up to 50% in the shop at Catholic.com. Okay, we're going to get more of your questions on the birth of Jesus for Steve Ray when we come back. Stay with us for more.
Catholic Answers Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking book by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can give to anyone as a starting point for helping them to find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In the beginning was the Word, St. John writes. He leaves no doubt about the divinity of Jesus, and that as God, he has always existed, and that it was through him that the Father created all things. So why did he choose to take on our human nature and suffer and die for the creatures he authored? It was not simply to inspire people to give gifts to each other in a spirit of family feelings and goodwill to all. No, he came as a remedy for sin. From the poverty in which he was born to the agony in which he died, his presence among us was to demonstrate the divine love our triune God has for us, and then to actually enable us to imitate that love in a way that we could never achieve simply on our own. This is the glory of Christmas. It is the glory of Jesus Christ in human history, and the glory of your life and mine as well. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
You're listening to an encore broadcast of Catholic Answers Live. We're not taking live calls today, but we're glad you tuned in.
Steve Ray is with us this hour. You will find him at CatholicConvert.com. And Steve, we were just talking off the air during the break there, and I'm really excited about the trip you have coming up to the Holy Land, because it slipped my mind until you mentioned it. It was a year ago, 1 week from today, that you and I and all of us were on a plane to the Holy Land with the Vocation Boom Pilgrimage, which was my second time there, and you're about 3,000th time there or something. But you've got quite a really neat group going with you here this Christmas. Why don't you let our listeners know about that?
I'm leaving Christmas Day. The group is leaving on the 28th and arriving on the 29th, so it's over Christmas break. And what I did is I said, let's do it for families. Let's do it so the families can bring their kids. And I said, parents are willing to spend $50,000 to give them a college education, and most of them are going to go to that college, or many of them, and lose their faith in college. Do a fraction of that cost. Bring them to the Holy Land where they'll never lose their faith, because they'll be so immersed in the truth of the Holy Land. And so we have two full buses. We only usually take one bus to Israel, but we have two this time because so many families, and we have 50 kids from anywhere from the age of 6 up through college age. We've got 50 kids, and I'm really excited about this trip. We're going to do fun things like learning how to sling, like David and Goliath, a slingshot. We're going to have those made up, and we have a lot of fun things planned for their families.
Well, I know that Assam, your primary bus driver, probably doesn't bilocate. So you've got the number one bus driver in Israel. Now you're going to have two. That's very exciting. So
yep.
And the way these guys navigate those buses, I'll tell you what, I would never, ever, 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 ever try that. Okay, Richard, thank you for your patience in Hickoryville, North Carolina. Glad we could get you on the program, Richard. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Okay, you're welcome. And my prayers will go out to Mary also. Merry Christmas, guys.
Thank you.
Before I start my question, I had heard one thing about the timing of Christmas was something to do with the anti-pagan worship of the sun about that time of year. Is that true or no?
I don't know. I know that there's a lot of talk about Catholic and Christian festivals and feast days being on ancient pagan holidays, and that somehow makes Christianity pagan. I have a totally different view of that. I think that when we do that, we help people relate to this new religion that we're bringing to their culture. And not only that, but when Christianity touches something, it doesn't become pagan. Rather, Christianity redeems things. Jesus touched the leper. He didn't become a leper. He cured the leper. When Christianity takes a pagan festival and turns it into a holy festival, we don't become pagan. Rather, we redeem and make that festival holy.
So whether it was or not, that I don't know. But Jimmy Akin's blog, I would encourage you to go visit there because he goes through all of that on his blog about the date of Christmas.
Oh, okay. All right. But anyway, my question, and I've heard this from several different sources and different ways it was answered, and I would like to hear your take. And when Mary was approached by Gabriel, and she was told that she would bear a son, and she said, how can this be since I know not man? And when Zachariah was approached by Gabriel and pretty much said, Elizabeth's going to bear a son, blah, blah, blah. And he said, we are too old. Now, to me, that was a question that both of them asked, but yet Zachariah was penalized.
I know exactly where you're going with this. I know exactly where you're going with this, Richard, because when I take my groups up to the visitation where Elizabeth and Zachariah, I always tell them this way. Here's the way I explain it, and I hope this helps you out. The angel comes to Zachariah and said, your wife are going to have a baby. And Zachariah says, how can these things be? And the angel said, because you didn't believe God, because you doubted me, you're not going to be able to speak until the baby's born. Now, then the angel goes up to Nazareth and he visits Mary and he says, you're going to have a son and it's going to be by the Holy Spirit. And she goes, how can this be? And the angel says, blessed are you, and he rewards her for the question. Now, I say, isn't that unfair? They both said the same thing and one gets punished and one gets blessed. Isn't that not fair? Okay, right. Here's how I explain this. The angel comes to Zechariah. He's old, beyond childbearing years. And the angel says, you're going to give birth to a child. And Zechariah says to the angel, really? You think that's going to happen? Have you seen my wife lately? And it was a statement of unbelief. I think what the problem is we in Scripture, when you read the words, you don't hear the tone of voice or the facial expressions. I think that the tone of his voice was, oh, yeah, right. You're a nut. Have you seen my wife lately? Now, so he's punished because he doesn't believe. He doubts it. But when he comes to Mary, Mary asks the thing, how can this be? But I think her facial expression and the tone of her voice went like this. Dear angel, I have no idea how this can happen because I don't know a man. But if you help me to understand, I am more than happy to cooperate with you. Total same words, but different facial expressions and tone of voice. And I think that's probably how it's explained.
Like my wife always says, it's your tone.
Does that make
any
sense?
Thank you again, Mary. Merry Christmas, guys.
All right, Richard.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you, too. If we're quick, we can get to Teresa. Anonymous, hang on. We're working on some information for you in Oregon. But Teresa in San Mateo, California, we got about 90 seconds or so. So if you can be brief, Steve will help you out. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. Just a quick question. I'm in the car with my 7-year-old daughter, and we are both curious if Mary was pregnant for a full 9 months.
I think she was.
Like a normal pregnancy. Okay.
I think she was because even in the church year, we start out with the Annunciation when it was announced to her, and then 9 months later, she's born. I think that Mary had a full term. I think she had a regular pregnancy. Mary was a real girl. It was a real baby in her womb. The baby needed to, and in those days, too, just remember that 1 in 3 children died in childbirth. And if a baby would come prematurely, they would probably have, it would be very difficult for them to live. Today, a baby can come premature. My daughter was born, my daughter Charlotte, at 3.5 pounds. She was so small, I held her in the palm of my hand. I have a special love for that girl because I held her in the palm of my hand and said, look at that. And we can do that today because of technology. But back in those days, they didn't have that technology. So a baby that didn't go full term usually would have a very little chance of living. So I think that Jesus went to full term in Mary, and Mary gave birth to Jesus just like any other mother would. I know some people argue with me about that. But I say, Mary, I think it says that she went to give the sacrifice like every woman would for the firstborn son that opens the womb. Jesus opened the womb. He came out of Mary like any other baby. I'm convinced that. I know I'm going to get 100 emails about it, but I think Jesus was full term. He came out like any baby did, and Mary held him and put him in swaddling clothes, and she loved her little baby. And say hi to your 7-year-old there. What's her name?
Her name's Elena.
Alina, hello to you, Alina. I have 12 grandchildren and a new one coming in January, and I love young kids. So hello, Alina, and thank you for you and your mom calling up to ask that good question.
All right, thank you, Teresa. We appreciate you joining us here on Catholic Answers Live. Steve, we are out of time for the program, but may you and your ever-expanding family have a most blessed Christmas, and we'll pray for your beautiful trip to the Holy Land. I know it's going to be a great blessing for two full buses. If people want to join you on a future pilgrimage, where do they find that information?
You can always find me at CatholicConvert.com and go to the pilgrimage link, or you can go to Footprints of God. Footprints of God, all pilgrimage stuff.
All right. Thanks, Steve. As always, great working with you. And, folks, now you can go to your phone, your cell phone, not call the program. We're signing off. But text the letters CA Live to the number 44222, and you'll get Tim Staples' free MP3 download on evangelization. And don't forget the shop at Catholic.com, where you'll save 10, 25, maybe even 50% on the faith resources you're looking for. Thank you to all of you who have sent emails, 102 emails so far for my sister Mary. She's got the cancer diagnosis. There are some complications. If you would like to join those in offering your wishes, it's praying for, F-O-R, praying for Mary at gmail.com. She would be very, very humbled and blessed by your good wishes. We'll talk to you again tomorrow on Catholic Answers Live.